Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
It's the Hollywood Life cast, where we bring you the best exclusive celebrity news, the juicy celebrity interviews, insider secrets about all of your favorite stars. And now your host, former editor-in-chief of Cosmo, Glamour, and Us Weekly, the president and editor-in-chief of HollywoodLife.com, Bonnie Fuller!
Hey guys, we are here with the Hollywood Life podcast, and we have so much to talk about this week. As usual, celebrities have not been quiet. And in fact, the Kardashians have been very loud, given some very, very interesting interviews that we must discuss. Kim revealing lots about her current marriage, her last marriage. She said multiple, remember? There was Chris Humphries. She talks about him. Khloe talking about Lamar. Kendall revealing why she didn't say anything about the Pepsi ad and more. And before we get to that, I've got to tell you, I am not alone here in the podcast studio. I'm here with Emily Longaretta, our entertainment editor.
Sort of like a joke about wanting to like bang Burt Reynolds. Not that it was a joke, like I would totally do it. And people are like, he's like 80, Trish. And I was like, that's my age range. Like, that's my number.
Listen, I still got the eye of the tiger. You know that.
Look, Rocky, you got the eye of a tiger and the IQ of a lima bean.
Yo, Adrian! Adrian!
Hello. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to talk about the Kardashians. I am so excited about this interview, Bonnie. It's so good.
It is really so good. Juicy. You know what I love about the Kardashians? They actually say things.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're not these celebrities that just kind of sit and try to be mysterious and don't want to talk about their personal lives. I mean, their personal lives are all over the show, yeah. But then they chat too.
Definitely.
And there's always more to tell.
Oh yeah. They have a juicy life. Their whole life is juicy.
Their whole life is juicy. I know. We love their life. And we're not just going to talk about them. We're going to talk about some Game of Thrones news too. The show is so good this year. But I know who else loves that show and wants to talk. And that is Gino, the producer.
Bro. 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 Listen to the kids, bro. Bro.
You know what show I've been disappointed in, though, is Kylie's show, Life of Kylie. It's the first episode was okay. They did like back-to-back episodes, and she did reveal a little bit, but as reported, it's mostly a big advertisement for Kylie Cosmetics.
Yeah, and apparently the fans aren't too happy, too. She's had a lot of criticism, and people are saying the show's boring. There's talk about it getting recut.
It looks like they did shoot some stuff to try to throw in that's more personal, like her and Jordan Woods going to the LA beaches that night and having like personal conversations that's kind of out of context. But she's so guarded and she's not willing to talk about Tyga or Travis Scott or anything. And anything that's interesting is not in the show.
It's so weird because the rest of her family is so loud about it. But I feel like her and Kendall specifically really kind of stick to themselves. Like they don't want to talk about the private stuff.
I know, but they want to show every bit of their body parts.
Yeah.
So they're not shy about that. They want the money. Yeah. And we can talk about how much money Kylie's making, too, when we get into things. But, you know, the thing is about that show is she has to know and the producers have to know. They've been doing the Keeping Up with the Kardashians for years. They know that you can't do a reality show that is kind of bland.
Yeah.
Like that's just straight about business.
Kylie is no like
unless Scott, it's a crazy business.
She's like no Scott Disick either. She isn't like magnetic on her own. Like her personality is like more suited for Snapchat, right? Where she's kind of just like photographing herself but not talking. This requires a lot more of her, and she's not really opening up in the way that like Khloe does so much on the show, where she really is
Khloe
like,
really opens
is quirky
up.
And she sort of steals every scene she's in. Kylie's not like that. So it's kind of resting more on like the cast of characters around her, but no one really cares about Kylie's makeup artist.
Yeah. You know?
So it's just It's not as good as I hope. But anyway, let's talk about some things that are good, which is our crushes at Emily Longaretta on Snapchat, Twitter, and Instagram. All three, right?
Yeah.
What are you crushing on this week?
I am crushing on someone named Raven Gates. She is part of Bachelor in Paradise. During the special last night, she actually...
like we wouldn't know who Raven is.
Yes, of course. She was the runner-up on one of the past seasons.
But Nick Vile.
She revealed that she was actually sexually assaulted in a past relationship, and she really wants to be public about it and speak out to try and help women and, you know, talking about the Bachelor in Paradise scandal. That's why she's been so open about it. So I just kind of commend her for volunteering that information and really honest about it and moving forward.
I agree.
Yeah.
And I really hope she finds love.
Me too.
I think she was really heartbroken by the whole Nick Vile situation and being dumped, of course, at the altar. She thought he was going to propose.
One of us should have crushed on Taylor Swift. I don't know why we didn't think of that. Like, that was the big story this week.
Yeah, that was a big one.
In that vein.
Yeah.
Well, we can talk about that in our news segment.
Totally.
Yeah. All right. This is a good crush. At @Bonnie_Fuller on Twitter.
Yes.
Bonnie Fuller on Twitter. Just Bonnie Fuller.
Then Bonnie_Fuller on the Instagram. What are you crushing on, Bonnie?
I am crushing on all of these celebrity women who are over 50 years old and who we have been seeing all summer in bikinis with incredible bodies. Not just in bikinis, but they're like having showers in bikinis. That's the new thing, is photographs while you're in the shower. And
who are these women, Bonnie?
And they're all topless. They're like all perfect. But I'm crushing on them because...
Wait, who are they, though?
Okay. Let me start naming names. Christy Brinkley, who's actually... over 60, Salma Hayek, who is 50, Halle Berry, who's 50, Heidi Klum. Well, Heidi's a little younger, but she's
44.
44. And hey, she's got a 30-year-old boyfriend.
Yeah. And a 20-year-old body.
Yeah. And she looks incredible. Nicole Kidman, who's close to 50. Age is a complete... like irrelevancy these days. Mm-hmm. Oh, J-Lo. How about J-Lo? She's 47. She gets more beautiful and her body looks better every year.
Like, what is Jared Leto and Jennifer Lopez doing? Is it some sort of lasers? Like, what? How?
Vampires.
Have you heard that new thing, the vampire thing is real now? People are getting...
oh, yes. They're turning into vampires?
Rich people are getting young blood transfusions. Like into their bodies.
Sounds like something A-Rod would have done when he was playing baseball.
Like, it's like a Lance Armstrong thing.
Yes, exactly.
No, but apparently there's something in young blood that sort of helps you repair your cells. And
it sounds really dangerous, though. You don't want to get somebody else's blood. I mean, it has to all go through a lot of testing to be safe.
That's why it's so expensive, because there's a lot of testing. And even if it is like an exact match, you can still have an allergic reaction to it that can kill you. So there's risks with it. But apparently there's real benefits.
Sounds something very Michael Jackson like.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I want to know where this blood was exactly coming from.
It's a little different than just drinking. Like, drinking blood is a lot safer.
He's like, that's fine, but don't get it injected into you.
Apparently, the best donors are under the age of 25. So,
oh, you've done a lot of reading about this.
This is all from one article. I was fascinated. When the headline says celebrities are turning into vampires, I'm going to read the whole thing.
Well, they look thick, like they must be vampires because they look so amazing. And the thing is that I think most of them do it through a lot of exercise, a lot of eating healthy. Of course, they all have celebrity chefs who can prepare
and
the
trainers.
Most and trainers. But it apparently it's all about diet. Like, it is about working out that keeps everything tight.
It's all about having a good plastic surgeon.
But
little laser, little lift,
maybe
little filler, little Botox.
Tummy tucks.
It's
that's what I need. Tummy tuck.
I just want like the crow's feet.
The mommy
like,
tuck.
You don't have any crow's feet.
A little bit. That's going to be my first thing I ever do is the crow's feet removal.
Well, I think it's more than that. Because the thing is, when you get plastic surgery and you don't do it well or you get too much, you start to look weird. And these women all look fabulous. They don't look weird. They're very natural.
They're doing it right, you know?
Yeah, they're doing it right.
And doctors get better at doing it, I think.
I want their doctors.
Yeah, same.
So that's who I'm crushing on, just because it's inspiration. And I know how hard it is because I'm getting there and I look in the mirror every day.
Bonnie's going to be doing a shower shoot next week.
Yes. Oh, yes. Here I am in the shower.
Make sure you guys follow her on Instagram.
Media scandal.
Gino.
Quickly, you can follow me at Gino Orlandini on all the platforms. And I have two things. Quickly, Victoria Justice came in and she was amazing.
Oh, I love her.
We did a whole photo shoot with her. I did a really elaborate video with her. I spent like 2 weeks on it. And she's just so stunning. You have to check it out on our YouTube.
And she's so nice too.
Oh, she's so nice and
fun.
I called the video Sweet Justice because she is like the sweetest person. Mm-hmm. And it just came out really great.
What was she promoting?
She has a partnership with JetBlue for literacy for children. It's a really good cause, and she was just really gorgeous. Oh, and also she just shared it. She put the whole video up on her Instagram and shouted us out on Hollywood Life. So it was a really good thing. The other thing I quickly want to mention is, have you guys heard this song by Branches and Big Wet called Turn Up on the Weekend? It's like the weirdest song of the summer, and it's kind of, I can't figure out if it's making fun of country music or if it just is country music. But maybe you can judge for yourself. We'll be right back.
I ain't got a swimsuit, sure as hell gon' jump in. Take another shot of Cuervo. Turn up on the weekend. 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 Turn up on the weekend.
I like that. I like that, whether it's a spoof or not. I still like it. But listen, Gino, just so everybody who's listening can see your Victoria Justice, our Hollywood Life Victoria Justice video, where can they find it?
It's on our Hollywood Life YouTube channel. It's also on Victoria Justice's Instagram now. She put it
up there. Well, then I think you need to put it on our Hollywood Life Instagram, too.
It's up there as well.
Sure. Okay.
I cut a special version for that, just the most gorgeous shots of Victoria. So you can check it out on our Instagram or on HollywoodLife.com or on our YouTube channel.
Okay, now let's dive right into this Kardashian stuff. Okay, so Kardashians gave a major interview. They're on the cover of Hollywood Reporter. And I was really fascinated about what Kim said about Chris Humphries. Because if you guys remember, she dropped those divorce papers like on a morning at 8:30. Mm-hmm. What was 8:30 a.m. L.A. time?
Yeah.
Like the moment that the courthouse opened, she dropped the divorce papers. Yeah. Chris Humphries had no idea. He found out about it on TMZ and probably on Hollywood Life because we were like up with it instantaneously too. And she said that she was having cold feet before the wedding. And of course, if any of you remember, there was a huge wedding special about her wedding to Chris. Mm-hmm. So she was thinking of pulling out of the wedding before the wedding special, but she got talked into going through with it. All her friends said, oh, you've just got cold feet, Kim. It's normal. You're just nervous about shooting the wedding special. And, you know, once you're married, everything will be fine. Mm-hmm. And I guess Chris didn't have any cold feet.
No.
And he was very surprised. Like he didn't. She's a good actress because he talked a lot about afterwards and said he had no idea that she wasn't happy in the marriage. And he was on the show all the time.
And I mean, even in the special, they did look, you could tell she was hesitant, and she, you know, they showed her talking to her mom about it ahead of time, about being nervous and, you know, those regular wedding day nerves. But obviously it was much more than that, but she did seem happy during the actual wedding. So it's a little strange, and it's always weird when she comes back and talks about this. Because,
well, everybody loves a wedding.
I mean, that's true. Who's not happy
at
a wedding?
But you can see the real story coming through pretty clear in the episodes following the wedding where Chris was in the show and Kim wasn't, you know, they were basically living separate lives and she could hardly stand to be around him.
She didn't want to move in with him, remember?
Right.
She didn't want to go up to his state where he lived. I can't remember where it was.
Yeah. Was he playing for Minnesota or something? It was kind of
Minnesota. That's right.
Yeah. So it was kind of out of the way.
She wouldn't make any room in her closet
no.
for his clothes.
It's not like he was a Laker where it would have been more convenient.
Yeah.
You know.
But how do you get that? Here's what I wonder. She said in the interview that she needed to divorce him because she couldn't physically stand to be with him. Right. How do you get that far to get engaged even if that's how you feel?
I feel like it has to be the pressure of everyone being around you and being like, oh, you guys are so great together. Oh, this. Your family loves him. He's so funny. Which, I mean, I guess the family didn't really love him, but they enjoyed his company. And also being in the spotlight. You don't want to say no to an engagement. I think that's scary.
Really?
I'd be afraid to say no if someone proposed, and even if I wasn't ready. I think that's scary.
Maybe she was being more literal. Like, she's 5'3", he's 6'9". Maybe they didn't fit together, if you know what I mean. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not always a match.
I mean, I've dated guys where it got to a point where I was really not into them.
Yeah.
And I understand that feeling of not wanting to be with them and trying to figure out how to break up. And, like, you physically don't want to do it anymore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I can't imagine getting to the point of a marriage, like following through in a marriage, if you're having any inkling of feelings like that.
Right. Well, I guess is it normal to have a little bit of doubt before the wedding? I mean, I don't know. I'm not married. But I didn't. No,
not an iota.
Yeah.
It just always felt so great to be with him. And I didn't have any concerns. Yeah. But I do know people that have, it's more about the commitment, making the commitment, like guys that don't want to propose because they don't feel like they're ready to make a commitment, like Peter on The Bachelorette.
Yeah.
But I think most people, by the time they're getting married, are pretty...
They're ready.
Yeah, they're ready.
This relationship fell into that zone, though, where you know you want to break up with someone, but you have to jump through a bunch of hoops because maybe, like, they've left all their stuff at your house. So there's a bunch of obstacles to making... Maybe your friend groups are super intertwined or whatever. And so you, like, sort of start resenting the person because you want them gone. And you know it's not... It's not that easy.
But then you don't get married to them.
Yeah.
Well, like you don't follow through.
Yeah. But I think the really contempt part sort of bubbled up like directly after the wedding when the fun of it was over. Kim loves getting glam. She loves getting dressed up. She loves being the center of a spectacle. And I think that all that desire to have that day overwhelmed her true feelings. And then once the fun subsided, she was like, shit.
Yeah. Like, I have to actually be his wife now. And
I think she realized there's no way she wanted to spend her time, like, traveling to Minnesota and hanging out with him. No. And she had bigger ambitions, which is really interesting because Chloe, of course, had no problem picking herself up and moving to Dallas, was it?
Yep.
To Dallas to follow Lamar. Like, she was committed to being a basketball wife and to following him. And she did that with her boyfriends, too. So
to Cleveland, of all places. I mean, that's commitment.
Yeah.
She's had no problem with that commitment, but I think you could see Kim was going, oh my God, wait, I don't really want to live there. I don't want to be in some house on a lake.
Right. But I also feel like if Kim was with the right person, like if Kanye was like, I want to go live in the middle of nowhere, I feel like she'd be like, okay, I love you. You know, you'll make those moves. Chloe loved Lamar so much that she was like, wherever you end up, I'll move with you.
Yeah. No, she definitely loved Lamar like that. But I just found that was intense when she admitted that she couldn't even physically wanted to be with him. And she never talked to him after that.
Yeah.
Remember? It was just done. She didn't even want to have a conversation. I think they had one conversation and it was filmed like on the show. And I'm not even sure if it was face to face.
I think it was on the phone. Yeah. I think he was on speakerphone.
Like, how do you do that? I just don't understand.
Speaking of Chloe and Lamar, another big revelation from this interview was that the reality show with Chloe and Lamar was Lamar's idea. Was this a shocker to you guys?
Yes, total shocker. Because he complained so much once he was into it, I think the second or third year, that it was destroying his basketball career and that he wanted out of it, that he only wanted to do one more season, and he really blamed his faltering basketball career on the show, that it was distracting. And yet she said she only did it because he sold the show to E.
She said he sold it and it made him happy, so she followed through with it. And then she was the one who got it canceled because she thought it was far too much for them to handle.
But of course,
Clearly,
what we know, you know, hindsight is 20/20, and we know in retrospect that Lamar was going through drug addiction at this time. So who knows what state of mind he was when he agreed to this reality show. And we know that during the filming, he was going downhill in a lot of other ways that had nothing to do with the show or his basketball career. I mean, he was succumbing to a horrific drug addiction that eventually killed him.
And drug addiction is going to kind of weigh in on your athletic ability.
Yeah.
He has one of those face, like he has that alopecia thing, right? Where he doesn't have eyebrows or any hair at all. Mm-hmm. And he kind of looks like a beautiful smooth seal or something, you know? And he has one of those faces where you can't tell really that he's on drugs. You know what I mean?
No.
Like if I did drugs, you guys would know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like if I don't sleep perfectly, I look way worse for the wear. Lamar was able to really hide it, you know?
That's so true. Yeah.
And also, he probably was doing it while he was playing and he was still performing pretty well.
Exactly. So, I mean,
it wasn't like he was terrible.
Some athletes are just like that. Like famously, the best mixed martial artist in the world, John Jones, just reclaimed his light heavyweight title in the UFC. And the reason he lost it was because of his partying lifestyle and drugs. And he revealed during his comeback that during one of his final fights before he was suspended and he hit a pregnant woman with his car and did all these crazy things, is he was using cocaine and all kinds of drugs right up until the moment of his fights and in previous fights. I mean, that's how, like, that's how much better he is than everyone else. That he doesn't, he wasn't even training. He was partying and still beating guys. And Lamar was one of those guys who was thought to be like one of the best talents in the NBA, just a next level talent. And he never really reached his potential. And I think we've seen why.
Well, right. And everyone kind of thought it was the Kardashian curse or things like that, but it wasn't. I mean, Khloe, obviously she was on the sidelines every week.
It was his own curse.
Yeah.
He cursed himself.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's not, it's really ridiculous when people blame Khloe. Like, people were blaming Khloe for the misfortune of the Cavs in the playoffs last year. You know, it's not Khloe. It's
no. It's them.
Well, there's no such thing as a curse.
No, there's not. If you're not good or you don't, I mean, sometimes things change in your life and that affects your playing. That doesn't mean, oh, I'm hooking up with a girl who is cursing me.
Right. Well, there's also, I mean, especially in tennis, like I know, because that's a one-on-one sport. There's so much psychology to it, too.
Yeah.
Like, you just have to have that confidence and winning attitude.
Absolutely. And I also feel like in all of our lives, if there's something personal going on at home, of course your head's not in the game when you're at work. So it's like, think about it, if you have to be physically on point, that's going to be tough. I mean, it's not... The curse is crazy to me.
Yeah, there's no curse, but certainly
it was a cocaine curse.
Being involved with the Kardashians, it would be a distraction for any athlete.
Yeah,
I mean, let's be real. It takes a lot of focus to play at the highest level, and not everybody is John Jones.
Well, you know, somebody else who made a revelation was Kendall Jenner. And, you know, she's had a lot of backlash for various things that she's done, including being in that Pepsi ad where she was supposedly protesting. You know, in light of what's just happened in Charlottesville, like the whole idea of trying to commercialize protests. Bad idea. Like, it's such a bad idea.
Well, wait, Bonnie, what if Kendall had showed up to Charlottesville with a Pepsi in hand?
I've seen some memes. Like, where was Kendall?
Where was Kendall? None of this would have happened. This just occurred to me.
I stopped everything with that Pepsi.
All she had to do was go up to those white supremacists and hold up her Pepsi and give a little flash of her boobs, and would have been it.
You know what? I am thirsty.
Oh, my goodness. But yeah, so she revealed in the interview that she had been secretly crying over the controversy, which doesn't really come to a surprise because she got really, really attacked for that. And Kim really encouraged her to speak out about it and make a statement. And she said, no, I don't want the attention for it. I just want to handle it privately.
I totally understand why she has that feeling, because the internet and celebrity culture has just turned into this whole gotcha culture where even when someone comes out with good intentions, everyone is looking for the worst possible interpretation of whatever you say to try to like retweet you and shame you and diss you and try to elevate themselves by calling out something you did. It's this big game of like one-upsmanship and moral signaling. And so it's the conversation around like race and celebrities and news has become really like dishonest and lowest common denominator, because everyone is just trying to have the loudest voice to get attention. Mm-hmm. Rather than talking about these issues on the merits.
I'm not sure that there was much she could say. Yeah. It was clearly a mistake, and she didn't have all the details when she agreed to do it. And she's doing a million different projects, and her managers told her to, this would be great for her. So I get it. I get how she could end up. And also, when you're filming something, you don't necessarily know all the other elements that are happening.
Right, of course not.
So until you see the whole thing together.
But were you guys offended? I mean, I feel like it was much ado about nothing.
Well,
like,
it was pretty dumb. It was just dumb.
It was a dumb commercial, but I wasn't like, oh, I can't believe Kendall would do this. I'm like, you know what? She's a model who is doing a big ad.
It was cringy for sure, but like, it's not the end of the world. She didn't produce the commercial. Like, leave Kendall alone.
Well, like I said, if anyone attempted to do a commercial like that now, you couldn't. You couldn't after the horrible tragedy and Trump's statements about it. You just couldn't. But it was a bad decision to try and commercialize something like that, where people are out protesting for very serious reasons and that have nothing to do with a soft drink.
Definitely. I mean, and there was a lot of shaming going on in general. And there was one thing I wanted to point out also about that interview was Kris Jenner was asked about Caitlyn saying, you know, that the Kardashian show became a lot about her, that Keeping Up with the Kardashians became about her. And she said, well, maybe she needs a reminder of what the show's title is. Saying that it doesn't have Jenner in the title. And that's a little bit of shade. And Caitlyn was the only member of the family who didn't want to comment in the story. That's a little weird to me. I think that's a little strange that she's kind of distancing herself.
I would love to know what Kendall has to say right now about Donald Trump. I mean, she said she was upset about him wanting to ban transgenders from the military. But what about now after what he said about white supremacists and supporting them?
And Kim spoke out in the interview also saying, you know, that she kind of went back and forth about Trump too over the past like year or so, but she actually spoke out and said,
yes,
you know,
she did.
All the countries are going to hate us now.
Yes.
Well, Kim, I mean, they're not.
She's been very vocal.
They're not going to speak out. I mean, just yesterday, Kim was in some controversy where she was defending this makeup artist who's been accused of saying something racist. And so everyone jumped down her throat, like guilt by association.
And then she apologized.
And then she immediately, as everyone does in 2017, except for one person we know who's an exception, but everyone else immediately goes into instant apology mode. Yeah. And it's just, I don't know. I'm kind of tired of the whole world shaming everyone into all these fake apologies.
Yeah. Well, I mean, talk about shaming. Courtney got shamed this week, too, for going on a vacation with Eunice. Oh, I can never pronounce his name. Eunice Benjima. Her 23-year-old lover. And she was being shamed for being away from the kids. And I'm like, come on. Like, Courtney hasn't had a boyfriend in years.
Yeah.
She suffered through very public abandonment and cheating by Scott Disick. And where's the shaming for Scott Disick, who's constantly away in the Riviera with 500 different really young girls?
Yeah.
Courtney needs
to
get some.
And where is he as a father? Yeah. Like, and she's getting shamed?
Neither of them should get shamed. If they have a babysitter, they have someone taking care of their kids. You're allowed to go on vacation with your kids.
Exactly.
She wants
when you have young kids.
Let her have it.
I give her all the credit because she looks so good and she seems so happy, and that's
all that
matters.
She deserves to have a week away once in a while, and lots of parents take vacations without their kids.
Yeah. It's not like she has babies. Her kids are, it's not like they're nursing.
Well, like, it's also not like she's just like leaving them home alone.
She's
like,
leaving them in the mansion with their mini servants.
Chris is like, I'm handling this.
With a giant family, you know, they have so much family.
Yeah. They do, and they have so much help.
Definitely.
Though I have to say, thinking about it, I don't think I have had a vacation without my kids, like without some of my kids in my years of marriage. Pardon?
Go away without them. Isn't that nice? Don't you want a romantic getaway?
Yeah, seriously.
Well, maybe for a weekend.
Wait, do you take all of them?
It depends. Well, we just did two different, like we kind of divided our vacation into two because the oldest came with us on a canoe trip with his girlfriend. And then we took the other three down to Universal Park when we got back.
So I swear when I became an adult, my parents stopped taking me on these vacations.
Yeah, they were like, we're not paying
for
you anymore.
Very bitter about it. They still take my brother and his wife for some reason, but I'm stranded out here in New York.
We still take at least one or two of them pretty much on every vacation.
Jeez, I'm going to have to speak to my family about this.
Yeah, really?
They keep going to Hawaii without me.
No, that's not acceptable.
No way.
My kids would say that's not acceptable.
Unacceptable, Mom.
Unacceptable.
I know you listen to the show. You have something to think about. Call me.
And you see, this is what's going to happen to Courtney when she gets a little old. Yeah. When her kids get older, they're going to say, unacceptable, we're coming. So she has to have her romantic vacations now.
Yep.
When they're too little to object.
You're a good mom, Bonnie. It's unbelievable. Do we have something else to cover? I know we're short on time.
Yes, we're going to talk Game of Thrones.
You two want to Game of Thrones it out.
OMG.
Wow.
I refuse to read the spoilers. I refuse to watch like which country accidentally released
Spain.
I refuse to watch Game of Thrones in Spanish.
I'm very good with pirating content, and I wouldn't do it for this show.
No, I don't. It's too good. I have to wait for it. I got to see it. I got to like just enjoy it while I see it. I'm so upset. There's only 2 weeks left of the season, but I can hardly wait for the first sighting of Rhaegar Targaryen. It's got to be this. Don't you think it has to be coming up? It's got to be before the end of the season.
I don't know who that is because I didn't read the books.
Oh,
Gino. So don't spoil
for
me.
But you said you watched the show.
I do watch the show. But
it's Daenerys' older brother who is the father. It's just been pretty much confirmed.
Bonnie, this is spoilers. Don't tell me.
It's not spoiler. It's been in the show. You said you watch it.
I do watch the show.
Okay. He's the father of Jon Snow.
I don't believe it.
No, this was out today. We actually wrote
about it on
Hollywood
Life. It wasn't out today. It was revealed like last season at the end of the season. It was pretty much revealed. And then last week on the show, it was revealed that Rhaegar got an annulment from his wife And then he secretly married ..
But there's like a romance brewing between Daenerys and Jon Snow. So they're going to be doing like a Cersei and Jaime incest thing now.
Well, there's, yeah, people are saying, we see it just proves they're Targaryens because they do the incest
thing. That's true. I have to object about the show, though. The Loot Train episode where the dragons fought the Lannister army was incredible. If you watch the behind the scenes that HBO did about how they filmed that, they set 20 people on fire at the same time to film that. They blew up all these actual things. They used practical effects. It's incredible how they filmed it. But I have to say, the subsequent episode...
Now, I'm assuming the people who were set on fire are in all those special fire retardant suits and stuff, like experts.
They're wearing fire retardant suits and like these fake faces. And then the Lannister, like, armor on top of that. But it was still extremely dangerous. But I have to complain about... I think you can tell George R. R. Martin is no longer steering the ship because, obviously, the show has gone past where the books are. And the writing has fallen off a little bit. The plan that they came up with last week to go north of the wall and capture a zombie and bring it back to show Cersei was, like, so ridiculous. And I was a little upset with
that.
Well,
yeah, because it didn't seem to require enough planning. Like, they knew there's thousands of deadlings out there. And so you can't just go and get one of them. One White Walker. Like, that doesn't happen with seven people. You're overwhelmed. You know what happens if they kill you. You're become one of them.
It's a silly plan.
Silly.
And they have Cersei on the ropes anyway. They could just kill her and then fight the White Walker. It makes no sense. And you can it disappoints me that George R. R. Martin stopped writing and that he couldn't keep up with the show, and that now the producers are...
He's having too much of a good time. Yeah. I saw him.
Yeah.
He's
partying.
I know. I saw him partying. I saw him at the Emmys. I talked to him. I was like, where the hell is that next book? Come on. And he's just having too good a time, like holding on his Emmys.
All props to HBO for the production of the show, but the storytelling is all George, and without him at the helm, it's I'm concerned.
Well, I'm sure he's giving input.
I know that he is, but we all know the hardest part of any story is the ending, and that's what we're approaching. And
we're not. There's a whole other season.
I know, but it's you know, there's been seven, right? So they're going to be wrapping it up. We're approaching the final confrontation, the Lord of the Rings style. One army here, one army there, and I hope George has lots of input.
Yeah, and I do really want to know, like, who's ultimately going to end up on the throne, or if it's going to be a joint, like, they're going to share the throne. I'm not even sure why Daenerys, like, why does she really want the throne? Is it just because she truly wants to give people a better life?
I think her motivations are much more complicated than that. I think she has, you know, she has that Queen of Dragons, something deep in her that wants to be the ruler of the world, and... it's definitely not just a virtuous, I don't know, journey for her.
Well, also, why doesn't she just take the dragons and go and fire the White Walkers? Like, they don't have to touch them. They can just burn them up. Like, I'm sure they succumb to burning.
They certainly do.
Yeah. So why is Jon Snow going up there? Why didn't Daenerys go bring the three dragons? She could have done in the White Walker army really fast.
Bonnie, this is my point. I think it's silly. Like, that is
makes no sense.
I totally
right.
agree with you. It's very dumb. They're going to smuggle a zombie into King's Landing for Cersei.
And like, yeah. And how?
And why would they smuggle in Tyrion to King's Landing to go meet Jaime? Like, and Daenerys just agreed to that. It was the dumbest plan. They could have just killed Tyrion, and then she wouldn't have had her advisor. It was too dangerous.
And also, that smuggle in seems so easy.
So easy.
Like, how did they get him up and into the castle with nobody seeing?
Okay, wait. I have a question for someone who does not watch. I'm just going to chime in here. I know I'm the definite minority of the entire world. There's only 10 episodes in total left. There's two left in this, and there's only going to be 8 next season. Is it going to be able to wrap up that quick? Like, do you guys think that's possible from someone especially who's read the books?
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, it is coming to the culmination because Jon Snow is going to have to find out who his real parents are. You know, we've got all the four surviving Stark children together.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Yeah, I think they can do it.
It's basically all, the whole show has basically been building between this giant battle between the army of the dead and the humans of this Westeros world, the living. And so it's already headed in that direction. The army of the dead is marching on the wall and the humans are trying to somehow unite this very divided kingdom.
Well,
Jon
Snow's trying to, and most of the other humans don't believe him.
Yeah, it's kind of like our world. It's very divided and they need to kind of come together. You know, for us, it's climate change is like the army of the dead. But you know, in Westeros, it's actually zombies. So
sigh. Okay, well, listen, that's where we're gonna have a very I can hardly wait for Sunday. And in the meantime, I'm sure celebrities are gonna be very busy and we're gonna have lots to talk about next week. And so until then, that's it for the Hollywood Life Podcast. And please leave us your reviews, come to the site, come and see all of our news. We're breaking lots of exclusives every week, and come to give us a review on YouTube. Bye.
Thanks, guys.